It's a great day, and it's a good time to be here, an enjoyable time, and we're glad to see the visitors that we have again this morning. We've been having visitors pretty regular, and that's good. And the way that we can make that happen is to always be inviting someone like Andrew was in the book of John. He was always saying to somebody, come with me, let's go see Jesus. And we want to be doing that, giving out invitations to the people around us and encouraging them to come at the time of worship or Bible study. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, Jesus told a parable among many. This one is the parable known as the parable of the 10 virgins, and we're going to be taking that as our text for the next little bit. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Just as we examined a parable last week, this too is identified as a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is something that could have actually taken place and probably did take place. And so it's not imaginary like fables and myths and things of that nature. And in this parable, there are several analogies. I looked at some material by a man named Burton Kaufman. He's written a whole commentary set on the New Testament. And as he made and listed all of the analogies that he could find, and they all appear to be very sound as we look at the Scripture. And I'm going to go through that list, and maybe that will be helpful as we begin to unfold the material. The kingdom of heaven in this parable is the church. And as we study our Bibles, we realize that the church is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. The bridegroom that is coming is Christ. The midnight arrival of the bridegroom in this parable would be the equivalent of the second coming of Christ. The virgins are church members. The wise are those who are prepared. The foolish are those who are unprepared. The lamps have to do with our faith and our works within our life, the faith that we have in Christ and our willingness to be involved in the kingdom of Christ. And the oil would involve also, again, our works and or even how spiritual we are. The sleep of the virgins. When we go back and look at the parable, we'll see that they fell asleep. Everybody went to sleep. And that's comparable to the sleep of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. So death is something we anticipate down on the other end of life. Sometimes it comes sooner, but we anticipate it. The midnight cry is the call to judgment. The refusal of the five wise to give oil to the five foolish teaches us a lesson there. Merit cannot be transferred. I can't live my life for somebody else, and I can't expect somebody else to live their life for me. I can't get to heaven on what you do or don't do, and you can't get to heaven on what I do or don't do. We will all stand before Christ and be accountable for ourselves. And I really believe that accountability is a lesson that's lacking in our world today. I think that's why we see so many problems out in the world from day to day, is because we've had a generation or two to grow up that didn't learn self-accountability and self-responsibility. And one of the major things that young people need to learn is self-accountability and self-responsibility. I am a responsible individual. I must be accountable for what I do. And when I do something and become like the elementary school child who says, well, yes, teacher, I did that, but Billy made me do it. Yes, teacher, I did that, but I couldn't help it because, and on the list goes. We don't make excuses. We accept responsibility, and we learn to be accountable for our lives. And so merit cannot be transferred. Somebody else cannot live your life for you and get you to heaven. The exclusion of the foolish when the door was shut is the equivalent of the rejection of the unprepared when the end of time comes. And the shut door, that door was shut and they didn't reopen it. The shut door is equal to or shows us that the last minute is impossible. It is impossible to wait until we hear the trumpet sound. It's impossible to wait until we hear the shout of the archangel, as we learned in our lesson this morning. It's impossible to wait until then and then suddenly have a last-minute change of heart and get there. It won't happen. And this parable, which is taught by Christ himself, is teaching us that. And again, I'm not harping on red-letter editions. I read any edition, but when you look at a red-letter edition, these chapters in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, when he's telling several parables in a row, you know that it's the Lord speaking because the publisher of the book has published it with this print in red, and it stands out. And so Jesus is sharing some lessons to teach us, and he's doing it by giving us an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We think about this parable, we realize immediately that it teaches preparedness. The Lord expects us to be prepared for his return. Those who have never obeyed the gospel live lives of unpreparedness because they have never taken that step that puts them where they ought to be. But after we've taken that step, we need to make certain that we are ready to go, as the expression is. We need to be prepared. We need to be living the way that the Lord expects us to live. There's no such thing as obeying the gospel and then living like you want to. This concept of once saved, always saved creates and causes problems. I worked with a man a couple years ago for a period of time, and he said, well, his church taught once saved, always saved, and he didn't have to go anymore because he's saved now. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that once we're saved, we remain saved regardless of what we do. The Bible teaches that we remain saved as long as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, because his blood continues to cleanse us, John chapter 1. But when we step outside the light and walk in darkness, we've turned our back on salvation. We are no longer prepared. And you see, being prepared is mandatory. Our Lord expects that of us. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40, Luke records some similar remarks that Jesus had made, although this parable isn't there. In Luke 12, verse 35, Jesus said, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he arrives, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. We don't expect it. We don't know when it's going to be. We can't mark an X on the calendar. I can't go into the Bible like a lot of preachers attempt to do and say, well, now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, these things will happen, and so I'm going to set a date, and we'll just get rid of all of our belongings, and we'll buy white robes, and we'll go wait on top of a mountain. That's been tried too many times and failed because no one knows the day or the hour except the Father, not even the Son. Christ does not know when the time of his return will be. And so he taught his followers to be ready, to be prepared, to be looking for him. The idea of watching, he uses that again and again. And we have to ask ourselves, are we watching for the Lord's return? In the first century, as they greeted one another and as they parted from one another, they had a greeting in the Hebrew language that translation comes out, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." They wanted him to come quickly. Well, they went home to be with him before he came. But we should be wanting Christ to come quickly, other than the fact that we have loved ones and friends that may not have obeyed the gospel yet. Being prepared is mandatory. It's not a take it or leave it kind of thing. Many people go through the motions. Many people play church. I remember when I was a boy, my dad had a car out on the back side of the house, and we would get up in that car and we would play church. Me and my brothers and my sisters would get in there and we would sing, and we would even have some crackers and some water. We weren't old enough to have comprehended everything yet, but we were playing church. We were going through the motions. So we would read from the Bible and we would sing and we would have prayer and we would take what we thought was the equivalent of the Lord's Supper. And as you grow older, you know better. You know, little children don't always understand this. But when we cease to be children, we put away childish things and we come to an understanding. But children do play church sometimes, like they play a lot of other things. But there are many adults who play church. They play at church. They say, where do you attend? Well, I go to such and such a church. And what do you do there? Well, I go there on Sunday and I worship and I put in my offering. And but what's your involvement there? Are you a teacher, an elder, a deacon? Do you work with the youth? Well, I go there. You know, we have more involvement than just going there. When we obey the gospel, we are a part of the family of God. So when somebody says, well, what church do you attend? Well, I attend such and such a church, and I'm a member of that church, and we believe in New Testament Christianity, and here's a piece of literature I'll share with you, and would you like to come and go with me sometime? You see, we have an involvement. We don't just play church. Many people are not bad people, but many people are unprepared. The world is full of good people who never go inside of a church building. Full of good people. But they are unprepared because they have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could ask the question, why were the five foolish virgins lost? Were they evil people? Well, for all intents and purposes, they must not have been, because they'd been invited to this wedding just like the five wise ones had. And I don't think that they kept a list and they said, well, let's get five wise for each wedding and five foolish. They invited 10 maidens to come to that wedding and to carry those lamps in the procession. Were they bad people? I don't think they were necessarily bad, but they were simply not prepared. They had made no plans for the future. They planned just enough to get by, but it wasn't enough to get by all the way. And you see, when they got out to the place where they were supposed to wait, the bridegroom didn't come right away. There are a lot of customs in those countries, and especially in that period of time. And weddings were generally held at night. And once the wedding was held, you know, the groom would go to the bride's home, and if he didn't come right away, he didn't have to. Maybe the bride's parents and family took a long time saying goodbye to her. And the bridegroom would delay his coming, bringing the procession along. And these people were supposed to be ready. And these 10 fell asleep. And 5 of them, their lamps may have gone out, but they had more oil to put in. They had the oil with them. It was a part of what they were doing. And the other 5 fell asleep and their lamps went out, but they didn't have any more oil. They ran out of steam, so to speak. They just didn't make it far enough. They were unprepared. And so eventually when the bridegroom came, well, they jumped up when they heard the sound that he was coming, and they ran off to see if they could get some oil. It's too late to get oil when the end has come. You know, back when we were talking about the analogies, we said that them falling asleep, the analogy there was it was the sleep of death. All 10 fell asleep. They had all passed into a sleep. But 5 of those 10 had enough oil that they could make their lamp be burning. And the other 5 didn't seem to have enough oil. You see, just being a church member does not equate to salvation. We have to be committed to the cause of our Lord. We have to be committed heart, body, and soul. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." It's not about me. It's about my Lord. It's never about us as individuals. It's about our Lord. Except by the grace of God, we would not enjoy salvation. And so, based on this parable, we know that we won't get to heaven on the spirituality of anybody else. We cannot rely on the deeds of others. We can't rely on the obedience of others. That's not going to save us. We need our own obedience, and it needs to come from our heart. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." Somebody said, "Well, why would anybody want to be a slave over here and quit being a slave here and go be a slave over there?" Well, the King James translates slave. It can also be translated servant if that makes you feel more comfortable. But it's still the bottom line. You're either serving Satan as your master, or you're serving Jesus Christ as your master. And Paul was thankful as he wrote to the Romans that they had obeyed. And he told exactly how they had obeyed. They had obeyed from the heart, the teachings that were delivered to them. They had obeyed from the heart, the form of doctrine that was given to them. They didn't argue with it. They didn't contend with it. They accepted it and they obeyed it. The same message goes to us. The Apostle Paul would be overjoyed and thank God if he were living today and knew that you had obeyed the gospel, had obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered into you. And then you got to realize at that point you're set free from sin and you become a servant of righteousness. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It makes you free from sin and its bondage. It makes you free from sin and its destruction. And it frees you to serve Christ so that you can count the blessings and count the promises that will be there for an eternity. They're not temporary. They're not over with when you pass from life. The blessings will continue to come from your Heavenly Father when you become a part of His family. Preparation leads to salvation. And part of that preparation involves our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of James, James would teach us that faith without works is dead. He said, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead, being alone. Now, am I saying we earn our salvation? No. We get our salvation by the grace of God. And when we have faith in Jesus Christ and we obey the gospel, it is His blood that washes our sins away. And if Christ had not made the supreme sacrifice, there would be no atonement for our sins, and we would have no opportunity for salvation. Faith without obedience is like a lamp without oil. If we believe and we do nothing about it, we're like a lamp with no oil. The light is not going to burn. It may start off to try to burn, but it's not going to burn. You see, James also says in James chapter 2 that the devils also believe and tremble. It's not doing them any good. They believe and they tremble, but it's not doing them any good. If you live a life and you have a faith that there's a God, and you have a faith that His Son Jesus Christ actually lived, but you aren't willing to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then that's like having a lamp with no oil. A little while ago, we talked about some of the more specific things regarding these ancient Eastern weddings. They were almost always at night, and generally the number 10 was the number of maidens that they would select to wait for the party to come through. The bridegroom would go to the house of the bride, and then he would escort her to this feast. The 10 virgins were required to have lamps burning, and they needed to be watching. They needed to be prepared. They needed to be waiting so they could join the procession with these bright lights to light the way to where they were going. Many times the groom delayed at the bride's home, and he would be late arriving to the celebration, but the virgins were to remain alert, their lamps burning, no matter what time, no matter how late the bridegroom came. And it doesn't matter when the Lord returns, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to have plenty of oil. If the bridegroom came and these virgins were sleeping or their lamps were not burning or they were gone, well, they missed the festivities. And I know there's one festivity I don't want to miss, and I'm sure you don't, and that's the festivities in heaven after the Lord returns. The banquet feast that will take place in heaven, and I'm not talking about a literal feast, naturally, because we will be spiritual beings, but the spiritual celebration that will take place in heaven when our Lord comes back to claim his own. The joys that we will have when we go to be with our Father and with His Son for an eternity. These are the things that we want to prepare for and we don't want to miss. You know, we talked a little bit this morning in our Bible class from 1 Thessalonians, and we talked about how some preachers put a lot of emphasis on the alternative, and we do have to mention the alternative. But we certainly want the emphasis to be upon the joys of heaven. You need to know that if you don't obey the gospel, you need to know that if you aren't prepared when the Lord returns, that you won't make it to heaven and that you would go to the fires of hell for an eternity with the devil and his angels. They weren't prepared for us. That place was prepared for the devil and his angels. But human beings who rebel against God or who choose not to serve God or make preparation will find themselves there. Do I want us to be afraid? No, I don't. I want us to be happy when we obey the gospel. I want us to be happy when we're serving the Lord. I don't want us to serve Him because we're afraid. Do I want us to fear God in the sense that the Bible teaches it? Yes. The Bible says, fear God and keep His commandments. That fear that He's talking about is respect. Have respect for God and be obedient to Him. But do I want you to be afraid of Him? No, I don't. I want you to be happy. I want you to feel comfortable in the presence of your Father. Because after all, when we pray, we're coming into His presence. We want to be able to talk to Him, and we want to be able to open our hearts to Him. We want to be able to outpour our soul to Him. As we think about Jesus' intent with this parable, it was indeed to shock men into a realization. It was to bring mankind to a realization that a great host of good, clean, moral, respectable people that walk the earth will be lost because negligence will keep many people out. There's a lot of people who say they don't need a church. They can live a good life without it. God's Word says you do need to be a part of the body of Christ in order to get to heaven. There are other people who say, I know I need that, but I've got plenty of time, and I've got a lot of things I need to do, and I'm living a good life, and I'll take care of that when life gets a little slower and a little easier. But we don't know how much time we have, because death doesn't pick a certain age and let us all wait till we get there. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes it's illness. Sometimes it's accident, and we want to be ready. When that sleep of death comes, like the sleep came over the 10 wise and the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, we want to be like the wise. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared. This is a warning against idleness and neglect. No difficult requirements. When you think about what these 10 young ladies had to do for what they were involved in, there were no difficult requirements. They needed to prepare to be a part of that parade, if we can call it that. They needed a lantern, the kind that has a wick in it, and the oil goes in there, and they needed something to light that wick, and they needed oil in the lantern and extra oil, because what if he delays? And so as we live our lives, we need to let our faith be built up so that if the Lord doesn't return right away, well, we're going to practice Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. We're going to be faithful even if it calls for a time when there's persecution and we have to be faithful unto death. We want enough oil to be faithful regardless of what life brings and regardless of how long the Lord delays. These ladies had no difficult requirements, and the Lord has placed no difficult requirements upon us. It's very simple. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said that there are many that would consider it foolishness. He said the foolishness of preaching God is used to save souls. And to some people it may seem silly that the church, that the New Testament would teach the doctrine of baptism, and you got to go and get wet, and all the things that are taught there, and yet the foolishness of preaching God uses to save souls. In the Old Testament, when Naaman went to find a cure for his leprosy, and he was told something very simple, go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be healed. He complained and was ready to go home. He didn't want to do that very simple thing. And yet when his servant convinced him that if the prophet had told him to do something great, he'd have gone and done it. Well, he went down to the River Jordan, and this is a muddy river. He went down into that muddy water, and he dipped once. He still had leprosy. And he dipped twice, and he still had leprosy. And he dipped 3 times, and he still had leprosy. And 4 and 5, and he could have gotten really upset by 5 and said, I'm done with this. I've still got leprosy, and he could have gone away. Or he could have said, well, I think 4 is plenty. I don't think I need 7. And he could have gone away, and he would have still had leprosy because he would not have been obedient to the command that God had given him. He didn't have any difficult requirement, just like these 10 young ladies didn't have difficult requirements upon them. And we certainly do not have a difficult requirement upon us when it comes to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a concern for what he wants. We need to pay attention to what he teaches, and we need to be obedient to what he teaches. And we're taught in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that we have to have faith to be saved, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the gospel taught, when we study God's word, we begin to develop a faith. But at that point, we aren't saved just because we got a faith. We're like the man with the road map who says, how far is it from California to Florida? And somebody says, it's about 2,500 miles. And so he moves into the next state, and the distance gets shorter as he moves across the country. And so at each place, he asks the question, how far is it? He gets a different answer. Well, when you study the Word of God, you begin to, at each place, the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And when we look at the book of Acts, those people would hear the gospel, they would be taught the gospel, and then they would say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they would be taught to repent and confess Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Did any of those things earn their salvation? Absolutely not. The price had already been paid by Christ at the cross. They accepted that salvation when they were obedient to the gospel of our Lord. So we don't have any difficult requirements, nothing that we can't handle. It takes a few minutes, but the joy that comes because of it is a joy that's unending. It's eternal. These 5 young ladies that weren't prepared, they ran off to try to get more oil. At the end of our life, it's too late to build up merit within our life. It's too late to build up obedience within our life. When our life comes to an end, it's too late. This is a warning to the good and the morally upright that being good and being morally upright is not sufficient. There must be oil in our lamp. We don't want to be deceived by cliches that Satan throws out into the world and religious people pick upon them. You hear this one all the time. Works cannot save you. Well, that's true in and of itself. Works cannot save you. You need the blood of Christ. But the blood of Christ will not save us until we accept his message and until we're obedient to his gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul taught that the preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection was the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. He taught the gospel there when he taught that when we are buried with Christ in baptism, we are resurrected to a new life, and our old man of sin is crucified with him upon the cross. Satan would throw those cliches out there. Works cannot save, but Satan is wrong. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Preparation does lead to salvation, but working is involved, not to work our way to heaven, but to obey God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Paul said the word work there a couple times. Did he say these people were earning their way to heaven? No. He said they were obeying God. We need to make a distinction. We need to understand we are expected to obey God. We can't claim salvation and do as we please. We claim salvation when we do what the Bible teaches and when we do what the Lord has said for us to do. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom is coming. We don't know when. It could be when we walk out the door this morning. It could be 2,000 years from now. We don't know when. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We want that joy in our life now. You see, eternal life is qualitative and not quantitative. There is a quality to eternal life, not quantity, because it's unending. And that quality can start right now. That quality can start when you obey the gospel and begin to live by the standards that are taught in the New Testament. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to repent of your sins, confess Christ, be buried with him in baptism, be raised a new creature. If you are a Christian and you've not lived up to your calling, if you're not prepared this morning, you need to repent and pray and recommit your life. We're ready to assist you, whatever your need is today. Will you come while we stand and sing?
Hearken, the voice of Jesus' Son.